The next matter is In Re Interest of Austin W. Counsel, good morning.
Good morning.
Whenever you're ready.
May it please the court, opposing counsel, my name is Marty Klein. I'm here this morning on behalf of Jack Weiss, the appellant in this matter. Although I may be biased, I think this is an interesting case that's presented before the court today. The mother in this particular case filed a motion to terminate parental rights in the district court. The district court transferred the case to the county court, at which point in time I was court appointed by the district court judge right before it was transferred. We had two major hearings in this case. The first was a motion for visitation held on December 20th. The second one was the trial, which was held on April 29th and May 3rd of 2013. I will argue that there are essentially three issues presented here for why the lower court ruled incorrectly and the case should be reversed. Number one, the lower court incorrectly found that there was abandonment by the father of his two minor children. Number two, the court incorrectly found that it was in the best interest of the minor children that the father's parental rights be terminated. And number three, although I understand this is not a typical termination case because this is not a Department of Health and Human Services case where the county attorney or the state files to terminate one of the parent's rights, there were no efforts involved by the guardian ad litem, the mother, or anyone else involved in the case to make any attempts to try to reunify the father with the children.
Can you tell us what efforts the father did to try to reunify with the child?
Yes. What the father had done in this particular case, and Your Honor, just for a little bit of a timeline on this, I was court appointed in approximately October of 2012. He had a visit with the children in May of 2012, and there's no evidence in the record as to what occurred in between that visit in March and my appointment in October. What he had done is he had requested me to file a motion for visitation, which the first time that we could hear that was on December 20th. The judge in that order ruled that he was to have visitations, plural, with his two minor children, the first visit to be therapeutically supervised. Therapeutic supervision, and that visit, which was held on January 4th, which the record will show that my client had paid for the fees for that therapeutic visitation, was done with the counselor for the two children. We had to wait almost 2 months to get those therapy notes back. During that time, he had requested visits with his children. When the therapy notes came back, he again requested visits with his children. There were no visits that were held after that point in time. The contact regarding the visits, the record will show, were made through the guardian ad litem. Attempts were made through the guardian ad litem to have visits with the children, and he was not allowed any other visits up until the time of the termination trial.
Was an order requested from the judge requiring the visitation?
No, there was not, Your Honor. There was not. As I said, in the original order from...
I understand that, but after the report came back from the therapeutic visitation...
No, there was no request made to the court, Your Honor. Specifically, the requests were made to the guardian ad litem at that point in time.
But that wasn't successful.
That was unsuccessful. That is correct,
and
Your Honor.
So no other effort was made to try to get this accomplished?
None that are shown on the record. None that are shown on the record.
I was going to say, as far as our record is concerned.
Yes, as far as your record is concerned, I believe that Mr. Weiss had testified at trial, which is on the record, that the request was made only to the guardian ad litem. I don't believe that it was made to the attorney for the mother.
Or to the judge.
Or to the judge. That is correct, Your Honor. Now, getting back, dealing first with the abandonment issue, I don't believe that there was sufficient evidence to show abandonment in this case. For abandonment, which falls under Nebraska Revised Statute Section 43-292 dealing with termination of parental rights, there is a two-pronged test that must occur in order for termination of parental rights to happen. Number one, and the statute kind of puts it out of order from what most of the cases discuss. Cases normally discuss one of the 11 factors first. In this particular case, we're dealing with Section 292, Parent 1. The parents have abandoned the juvenile for 6 months or more immediately prior to the filing of a petition. If that is established through the normal court's progression in the cases that I've read, then courts get into the interest of whether or not it's in the best interest of the children that termination occur. On the issue of abandonment, though, although the statute sets forth 6 months or more immediately prior to the filing of the petition, what Nebraska courts have often done and often looked at is what's been going on basically up to and including the time of trial. And in this particular case, if you want to just focus on the six-month time period, as the record will reflect, my client was in Las Vegas during that time between April of 2012 and August of 2012 when this was filed. There's minor conflicting testimony that my client originally, when he moved to Las Vegas, had attempted to make contacts with the children through Facebook. But during the time that he was in Vegas and during that particular six-month time period that we're focused on here, his child support obligation was $50 a month for the two children. Over the course of those 6 months, he would have had to pay $300 in child support. That would have been his normal child support obligation. He paid in excess of $400, so he actually paid more child support for the benefit of the children during the relevant six-month time period.
But he didn't actually pay it on a regular basis, did he?
That is correct. The payments over that six-month time period, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe they had come in two separate payments.
And did he have arrears at that time?
At that time, he did, yes.
So can we really say that even though he was making the payments during that six-month time period, they were really for back child support payments that he owed?
And I apologize, I can't remember exactly how much he had owed in back child support, but I would assume, based on my recollection of the record, that that would have been for all back child support. That is correct. But when you look at the issue of child support, though, and you look beyond the relevant six-month time period, which courts often do, you will find that he was continuing to pay child support and was continuing to pay it literally up to the date of the termination trial. He testified, and it's in the record, that he knew that if his rights were terminated, that his child support obligation would cease. But what he said was, I want to see my children, and I'm going to continue to pay my child support. He had continued to do that. Again, if you look outside the relevant six-month time period for what he was doing, he testified that he wanted to see his kids. He testified...
He never sent them any cards, did he? Or any letters?
There is nothing on the record to reflect that he had done that. That is correct, Your Honor.
There's nothing showing any birthday wishes or Merry Christmas presents or... On the record, anything
nothing
of that
on
nature.
The record. That is correct, Your Honor.
Isn't that a problem? To say that he paid some of the $50 per month, which is the minimum amount of child support that a parent is required to pay, is sufficient? Isn't that kind of a stretch?
Well, I would say this. If you take the issue of abandonment and you only look at that six-month time period, I would agree with you. That is of major concern that all he did was made two child support payments. However, when you look at the totality of the circumstances up to the date, essentially the first day of the trial on April 29th, what he was doing is he was continuing to pay his child support. He did what he could do in order to see his children as many times as he can. And also, if you look from the hearing on December 20th, the visitation notes were included in that. There was nothing in the visitation notes that showed that the father did anything improper while he was around the children. And I can't remember if it was the March of 2012 or the January of 2013 visit that he had with the children. He had asked the older child if he wanted to see his dad again. And he said that the minor child said that he would be okay with resuming his visitations of every other weekend and 6 weeks during the summer. And so in looking at the totality of the circumstances, yes, if you're looking at abandonment through the narrow prism of that six-month time period, it doesn't look good. But when you look at all the facts and circumstances in this case, I think that Mr. Weiss has done, or the appellant has done, what he needs to do to show that there has not been abandonment and that he needs to have another opportunity.
The move to Las Vegas was totally voluntary, wasn't it? It was not a job-related move or anything like that, or a job transfer.
According to the record, that would be correct, yes.
So other than paying some child support, he moves a long distance away, which isn't conducive to visitation, doesn't do anything else to try to support these children. Is that fair?
Well, there is evidence, basically in this particular case, that, and there's some confusion there, but there was a protection order that was filed with the court by the mother.
Never served on him, though, right?
That is correct. His testimony at trial was that he believed that that protection order... May I continue?
You finish your answer, yes.
He believed that that protection order was outstanding, and for that reason, he figured that he was not allowed to see his children for a year, and so that he went out to Las Vegas at that time.
But he was wrong.
I'm sorry?
He was wrong?
Yeah. Well, as it turns out, yes. Yes, I would agree with you on that. He was wrong.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
How much should we take him over? Would you please add that to the appellee's time? Good morning, counsel.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Joel Carlson. I represent the appellee Jennifer Smith, and as you've heard here, it's a little bit different than some of the other termination cases you've heard this morning. This is inside a divorce case that got sent down from district court to juvenile court to answer that question, should the right be terminated? With respect to the proof in this case, we talk a lot about 6 months. We're talking about at least 15 months of no contact. We're talking about he voluntarily left to go to Vegas somewhere in October 2010. So if I use November 1 as maybe a guess mark, he doesn't have his first visit with kids until March 2012. That's 15 months. And then we were still unsure where he actually lived. He testified finally, well, I moved back to Iowa in May of 2012. So we're talking about 15 months away from the kids, 17 months away from the general area of where we're talking about. And I know one of the other key factors that the court is always looking at is, okay, you can have all the abandonment all you want. You can meet that, but you still have to meet the best interest test. And in this case, what's a factor here that wasn't like a statutory factor, but it's the abuse. An incredible amount of abuse prior to his leaving, and then when he comes back, the children are kind of confronted with the fact that I'm around my abuser and it's affecting me. With respect to that, both the children testified and the mother testified, and they testified, what's interesting about it, they testified about what they incurred, what they saw the sibling incurred, what they saw the mother incurring. So it was very consistent, very profound, and I could have gone on and on at trial about it, but we suffice to say it had a great effect. And not only that, we had the therapist of the children testifying. If you look at some of the cases that, the case you've seen before, sometimes you have a lack of that. We actually had that as well. These kids had diagnosable mental health problems caused by this abuse. And when the dad finally did come back and had that one visit in March 2012, they had to resume counseling again because these symptoms were coming back. They actually had improved up until that visit. And so with respect to that, I think there's best interest that would still maintain a termination of parental rights. In addition to that, if you look at the big picture, mom has moved on. She's married Benny Smith. He's willing to adopt. They have a calm life together. Kids are doing well in school. This is why in these cases, and I know it's important to not trample on parental rights, but in this case, to free these kids up for that adoption by their stepdad is what's important. Does the court have any questions?
Questions? No. Questions? No
questions. Okay. Excuse me.
All right. Thank you very much. You may step back. Matter be deemed submitted, and thank you very much for coming in today. We appreciate you appearing before the court. You're excused. This completes this session of the Nebraska Court of Appeals.